أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الصلاة والسلام على محمد وعلى الطيبين الطاهرين. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. We've been looking at Muhammad Square in Quran City, and today I'd like to focus on an awesome surah. All of them are awesome, but this one is surah number 36, and it's Surah Yasin. It has 83 ayat. It's a Makki surah. And it's known as Qalbul Quran, the heart of the Quran. The Prophet said there's a heart for everything, and Surah Yasin is the heart of the Quran. So the word Qalb is from the Arabic word Qalba, which literally means to turn. It is the entity whose nature is to turn. It should turn towards Allah and not get attached to anything or anyone. For if it is attached, it will get broken by death, no matter what it is set on. A heart is not a qalb if it's not turning solely towards Allah. So Surah Yasin teaches graphically how to keep the heart turning. We find that it's usually a surah which we recite for those who have died. But therefore, it's a surah of great importance to the living. So if we want to know the meaning of life, we have to experience death. Just as the Prophet said, die before you die. Let's look at the benefits of reciting Surah Yasin. It's recommended to recite it to seek Allah's blessings, His happiness, preferably after Fajr Salah. It should also be recited in illness and at the time of death. And the thawab of reciting Surah Yasin is of reciting the whole Quran 12 times. There's forgiveness of sins. If the surah is recited over one who is sick, then for every word recited, Allah sends 10 angels seeking forgiveness for the patient. And if death is ordained, then all the angels will remain for the funeral prayers and the burial. Can you just imagine? It's a means of safeguarding against calamity. For Hajat, recite Surah Yasin, that's fulfillment of desires. If you listen to Surah Yasin, just listen to it. It is the thawab of 20 Hajj. The Prophet said that if it's recited in the graveyard, Allah reduces the punishment, if any, on the person in the grave, and He replaces it with goodness. Imam Sadiq says that if it's recited during the day, it keeps the reciter safe for the day. If recited at night before going to bed, Allah sends angels to watch over the one who recites it. And if you feel your memory is going, then recite it on rose water and saffron. And it is amazing. A cure for 1,000 illnesses. My goodness, I could go on and on and on. But let's look at the surah in itself. First of all, let's look at the focus. So the focus of the surah is divine guidance is a means of reaching one's full potential. And that comes through very clear throughout this surah. It's a warning to the unjust. There is reflection on creation and the inevitability of the day of judgment. So basically, it covers the whole of the key tenets of Islam. We've divided the surah into 7 sections. In the first section, we see the mandate of the Prophet. And the Prophet is addressed as Yasin. Ya as in O, Seen as in literally, it's the middle letter of the word Insan. Alif Nun Seen, Alif Nun. So in other words, Allah is saying, oh, the most perfect human being. Because of this, the Ahlul Bayt are known as Ali Yasin. Here Allah tells him his mandate is لِتُنْذِرَ قَوْمًا مَا أُنْذِرَ آبَاؤُهُمْ فَهُمْ غَافِلُونَ, that you may warn a people whose fathers were not warned, so they were heedless. One of our biggest enemies is habits and traditions. Heedlessness arises because of ignorance and habits. The second section is a story. It's a historical example of those who rejected guidance. Of the city of Antioch, where Prophet Isa sends 3 of his disciples who were rejected and mocked. Townspeople known as Habib al-Najjar or Habib the Carpenter, popularly known as Mumina Ali Yasin, comes running, urging his people to obey the messengers. They kill him, and Allah records the sentiments of his soul when he is told to enter Jannah. He remembers his people, wishing that they would achieve forgiveness and recognize the knowledge of entry to Jannah. Next section exhorts the human being to reflect on creation, on the dead earth, on gardens of palms and grapevines, on pears, on night and day, on the sun and the stages of the moon, the orbits, the ships, and even airships. Section 4 is an admonition to reflect upon our past, know its consequences, and beware of the future, guarding ourselves, protecting ourselves against sins known as taqwa. And if we sincerely do this, Allah will turn mercifully towards us. And this manifests itself in being able to serve creation. Those who cover up the truth answer, وَإِذَا قِيلَ لَهُمْ أَنْفِقُوا مِمَّا رَزَقَكُمُ اللَّهُ, when it is said to them, share, give out of what Allah has given you, قَالَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا, those who cover up the truth, say, لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا, to those who believe, أَنُطْعِمُ مَنْ لَوْ يَشَاءُ اللَّهُ أَطْعَمَ, shall we feed those whom if Allah wished, He would have fed them? إِنْ أَنْتُمْ إِلَّا فِي ضَلَالٍ مُبِينٍ, indeed you are in nothing but clear error. And it's a general argument from those who have when it comes to helping the needy. Why does Allah not give them provision? Why should we do it? They see themselves as separate beings, and it is the arrogance of I-ness that is highlighted here. Section 5, there is a comparison of the fate of those who believe to those who defiantly reject divine guidance in the hereafter. The description of Jannah for those who believe. Allah says, Salamun Qawlam Min Rabbir Rahim. They are at peace with no further affliction of heat or unpleasantness. They are in the shadow of reality, in the perfect refuge, and in perfect contentment. Whatever they wish is theirs. Those who are guilty of being unjust to others and not heeding divine guidance are told to move aside, and they are told of Jahannam, a bottomless pit where there is not a moment's peace and where there is a state of endless falling. The human being desires stability, but Jahannam has none of that. It is constant turmoil and burning. It continues in section 6, which is ayah 68-81, whether the reflection of the creation of the human being and animals. 68 says, وَمَنْ نُعْمِرْهُ نُنَكِسْهُ فِي الْخَلْقِ أَفَلَا يَأْقِلُونَ, and whosoever we lengthen in age, we reverse him in creation. Do they not understand? Life is a cycle. Whatever in the creation has begun eventually must become old. Since everything has a return, we must also have a return. Should we not consider what and who we are returning to? Finally, the last section, and I call it kun fayakun, be and it is. It is an affirmation of He in whose hands is absolutely all control, all possession, control over everything. He only has to say kun, be, and it is, fayakun. In essence, the surah is a full picture of tawheed. It portrays the nature of reality, the laws that govern existence, and the extent of the human being's freedom, in that he is the product of his actions, which are only as good as his intentions. The surah shows how we dictate our own destinies. It also depicts how we ourselves tie the chains of arrogance, expectations, and desires around us, which make us forget reality and our purpose of existence. The sudden call of death, resurrection, and coming before divine presence are vividly portrayed, and the meaning of Jannah is made so clear. Let us pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us the tawfiq to be those who are Ahlul Jannah, those that have taken Yaseen and understood it as Qalbul Quran and are able to rotate their lives around divinity. Rabbana taqabbal minna innaka anta as-sami'ul halim.